You know, sometimes if you're busy enough, God's presence when we assemble together may just be the only peace that you experience all week. Can anybody relate to that? Sometimes in this generation where everything is a million miles an hour and everything moves so quickly, there's just no time to take a break unless you lock yourself away with God. Amen. Last night we talked about that God is the one that sends the rain. Amen. The weatherman tells us it's nature. Mother Nature sends a rain, but the Bible says it's Father God that sends a rain. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said that He said it's the Father in heaven. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew 5:44-46. He told us to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who hate us, to pray for those who persecute us, that we may be sons of our Father in heaven. Because He's the one that sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Amen? He's the one that does it. We're going to be part of the family. Amen? We don't want to be the cheese that stands alone. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time together to assemble in Your name. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word, Lord. We, like David said, we tremble at Your Word. We don't want to be like the rest of this wicked generation that is irreverent and throws Your Word around like it's an unholy, unclean thing, Father. Father, we're so thankful, Father, that we don't have to be those swine that You talked about. But instead, we can treat Your Word as a precious pearl. We're so very grateful for this wonderful book that came to us in a river of blood, Lord. And all those who died and gave their lives just so it could be translated in the common language. Father, I ask You to give everyone here ears to hear and eyes to see, and I ask that You'd help everyone to humble themselves to receive from the Holy Spirit tonight. We bind every hindrance to this service, and I just ask You to come upon me now, Holy Spirit, and to move in this place. We pray that every secret of the hearts of the people are laid bare, Father, that we can be clean before You in every way. Lord, You said without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And Father, we just humble ourselves right now. We come expecting to receive from Your hand. And I cancel the operation of the enemy against this service in Jesus' name. We're so very careful to give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Everybody said?
Amen.
Jesus' name. Now, we understand that we're in the last minutes of the last days. You'd have to be completely spiritually blind. Even the unbeliever knows. It's all in all of the Hollywood movies. It's on everybody's lips. They believe the end of the world is coming. And it is, but it's not going to come exactly the way they think it is. And we believe that before the Daniel 70th week or the tribulation period begins, we believe that Jesus is coming for the church. He talks about that in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians 15. He makes reference to the dead in Christ rising first, and then us who are alive and are left will be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds in the air. That's called what we call the rapture of the church. We believe He's going to pull us out of here. And you don't have to look very far to recognize that all the nations who don't worship Jesus as God, as a whole, they're living in terrible poverty as a whole. Deserts, no rain. And we understand that if just from Israel's history alone, we can study the history in the Old Testament, and we can watch and see the patterns that are going to come about. Be on your guard against men. Watch out for false teachers. Jesus said, the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Because he gives the Spirit without limit unto him. He said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Jesus said, I speak only what I hear. I judge only what I hear. He speaks only by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He told us, he said, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. Amen. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. We need to walk in love. Amen. God is love, who has said, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we can have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we're like him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. He said that we should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He said, there's one Lord and one Spirit, just as you are called, the one hope as you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. Amen. But he said, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean other than he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than above all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. That's Jesus. It's saying he went to hell. He descended to the lower earthly regions. He was raised higher. Now he's back to his deity form. He was on this earth as humanity, not deity. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Anything you've seen Jesus do, all the Old Testament miracles that Jesus did, we are able and capable of doing. Every believer is. Amen. If they tap into God. Amen. Amen. So he says, it's he who gave son to be apostles, son to be prophets, son to be evangelists, son to be pastors, and son to be teachers. To prepare God's people, that's you, for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Till we all reach a unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the stature of Christ. That means that us true men and women of God are to teach you until you are just like Jesus. You're thinking, how is that possible? Well, that happens what you do at home. You see, because you're supposed to be doing what we teach you. Amen. You're supposed to be fasting and praying. You're supposed to be pursuing God relentlessly to fulfill your call in the ministry. I can't do that for you. Amen. And until you begin to act, then it's just like he said, Ezekiel said, he said, we're just like one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. He said, they hear your words, but they don't do what you say. He told us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. James 1:22. He said, anyone who hears the word but doesn't do what it says, like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. And what is a mirror? It shows us our character flaws. That's what God's word is likened unto a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law... Now what are you going to do? That's a New Testament scripture. He calls it law. God's word is law, and is to be obeyed as if it is law. And it is to be respected and honored as if it is law. Because it is law. Now, I may get stoned for this. It doesn't make any difference, because God's word is still law in the New Testament as it was in the Old. You have received a salvation that you cannot earn and you do not deserve. You deserve to go to hell, every one of you. Amen. Deserve to burn in hell forever.
Amen.
Everyone does. Amen. But if you've accepted Jesus as your substitute, paying the penalty for your sins, then that means that He went to hell for you and you do not have to go there.
Amen.
That's called grace. It's His unearnable, unmeritable favor bestowed upon you by faith. You don't deserve this salvation. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. But verse 10 of the same exact chapter, just one jot and tittle away, says this: you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works.
Amen.
Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Paul said, I worked harder than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now what are we going to do? I worked harder than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. God's grace is an empowerment to obey God's law, the Ten Commandments. But we don't obey them as if there was a stony tablet hanging here on the wall. We don't obey it that way anymore. We obey it by nature because those laws are written on our minds and written on our hearts, he said.
Amen.
He removed that stony heart out of you and gave you a heart of flesh, a heart that's alive unto God. We could not obey God before. When you're spiritually dead, all you could do is sin. If you tell a sinner not to sin, it's going to make them sin more. You need to tell them they need to get born again and turn from their sin and accept Jesus' salvation. The reason we tell them that they, you know, things like you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't murder, is to, you know, and you shouldn't do these things is to reveal to them that they are sinners. That's what he said in Galatians 3:12. He said the law was put in charge. Galatians 3:24, he said the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ so we might be justified by faith.
Amen.
He said the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is not for the righteous, but for the ungodly, the sinner, the rebel, those who kill their fathers and mothers, the perjurers, the liars, and slave traders, and all these sorts of things. So the law is good, he said. But the devil did a good number on the Gentile believers because they don't have a working knowledge of the law. Gentile believers are ignorant of the law, and he takes advantage of your ignorance. Jewish believers don't have that problem because they understand the law. Gentiles do not understand the law. And they are afraid that if they do anything for God, that they're putting themselves under law, so they sit on their hands and do nothing because they're afraid they're going to go under the law. I've heard pastors talk about this. It just shows how ignorant we are of the Scriptures these days. But the Bible says we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen?
Amen.
So we're supposed to be about our Father's business.
Amen.
He said us preachers are to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up till we all reach a unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attained into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we'll no longer be infants. Everybody say infants.
Yes.
Who would like to be known in heaven for all eternity as someone who never matured? Who would like to be known as the one that was a carnal believer their whole life and did nothing for Jesus? Who would like that? Nobody would admit to that, right?
Amen.
Become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. God's grace is going to cover your sin. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not if you're deliberately sinning against God. Hebrews 10:26 says, if we deliberately keep on sinning, this is in your New Testament, in your Bible. If you deliberately keep on sinning after you've received a knowledge of the truth, that means after you're born, after you receive Jesus as your Lord, the knowledge of the truth, God's word is truth.
Amen.
If you deliberately keep on sinning after you receive the knowledge of the truth, he says no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. He warns you. He said anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who's trampled the Son of God underfoot? Who's treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? It's greasy grace. It's insulting grace. For you know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what God's got to say about it. God knows my heart. God's going to cover my sin. And it's the exact opposite of what your Bible says. That's what men say. That's what the devil tells you that's sitting on your shoulder. When the Bible says this, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin, that's talking about deliberate sin. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. There's no relationship. 1 John 3:6. 1 John 2:4 says, a man who says, I know him, I love Jesus, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And we know Jesus walked without sin, didn't he?
Amen.
It says this in 1 John 5:6. He says, this is the message we heard from him, Jesus, and declare to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. God knows my heart. No, no, no. He says you're a liar. I didn't call you a liar. He says you are a liar. The man who says I know him but doesn't do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I'm telling you right now, Pastor Dan, I love Jesus. No, you don't. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15. He said, Jesus is my friend. No, you're not. Not if you're living in deliberate sin. He said this, you are my friends if you do what I command. John 15:14. God's commands are too hard to obey. No, they're not. He said in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to do. It's a choice. Amen? He said, I set before you this day life and death, blessings and cursings, therefore choose life. It is a choice to obey God. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. You're either going to be a slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness, or a slave to sin, which leads to death. Romans chapter 6. It is a choice. We have to sin every day. No, you don't. He said, you died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Romans 6:1. But you don't understand. Yes, I do understand. You don't have to sin. It's that you're sinning because you like to sin and you're not of God. But you can get set free today if you'll give your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
I already have Jesus in my life. Not if you're living in deliberate sin. If you know you shouldn't be doing something and you keep doing it, that's called deliberate sin. You're not recognizing God's grace. You're deceived. Amen? That's Satan's favorite tactic is deception. It says he deceives them. The devil who deceived them was thrown in the lake of fire. So now, God's grace is not a weakness. God's grace is a strength. Amen? It's a strength to obey God, because he said this, Hebrews chapter 4, we'll start in verse 14. He says, therefore, since we have a great priest who's gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith, the hope we profess. If we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin.
Amen.
And then he says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. In the time of need. He didn't say grace to cover your sin. He said grace to help. In other words, it's an empowerment. What did Jesus say to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He never likens grace unto weakness, not even one time in Scripture. It's always an empowerment to live a holy life. As the Bible says this, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The Bible says, he says, let us... You know, we'll go back to chapter 5, but he says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. He said, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, and that's constant use of the Word, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. How far is that from this corrupt generation who even sitting in the church, most Christians can't even recognize that the filth that they're pumping into their spirits as they listen to that heavy metal and rap music, the filth that they pump into their spirits when the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The filth that they pump under their spirits as they watch that television is an abomination in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Their consciences are seared. When he said in the last days, people be lovers of themselves, he was not talking about the world. He was talking about the church. You'd be surprised. You want to go, you know, most of your modern day churches, you want to know where the gateway to hell is? It's right through the doors of the church. Because they're telling you that God's grace is going to cover your sin when God says, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Luke 6:46. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven.
Amen.
He said, anyone who hears the word, and doesn't do what it says. He's like a man that looks at his face in a mirror. And after going away, immediately forgets what he looks like. So it's like recognizing that I got these character flaws. I better get rid of them because he expects me to be holy. And you just look at it and go, nah, God's grace is going to cover it. He knows. Don't judge me. What did Jesus say? When the woman was caught in adultery, she was caught in sin. He said, has anyone condemned you? There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, Pastor Dan. Doesn't mean what you think it means. Jesus said this, has anyone condemned you? She said, no one, sir. Neither do I condemn you. Go leave your life of sin. The man who was an invalid for 38 years, he said, stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. That's what Jesus said. Don't care what you believe. God's word is our only foundation for truth. Jesus commanded us to preach to the people that he was going to be the judge of the living and the dead, one of the apostles said. How often do you hear them preach that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead? With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. His feet are like burnished bronze. On his head are many crowns. His head and hair are white like wool. His face is like the sun and shining in all of its brilliance. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the word of God. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. That's Jesus. The Apostle Paul said he's not weak among you, but he's strong among you. He's powerful among you. To be sure he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. And this is what the Spirit says. He says, humble yourselves and recognize my word as the only truth. For I am the way. And I am the truth and I am the life, says the Lord. There is no one who comes to the Father except through me. I am the Word. There is no one who comes to the Father except through me. I am the mighty Logos. I am he who reveals the plan to humanity. I am he who reveals the expectations of God to humanity so that they may turn from their evil deeds and live. Will you hear? Will you open your ears? Will you hear and live, says the Lord?
Amen.
Will you choose to obey? Or will you harden your hearts? For my word is a sword, and my word reveals the plans to humanity that they must obey and walk in. You don't think that's God speaking to you? The Bible says not to treat prophecies with contempt.
Amen.
Some people, Jesus himself, if they can't hear the word of God, it doesn't make any difference. Jesus himself could come down a golden ladder and tell them the same thing I'm telling them. If they won't listen to me, they won't listen to Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He said, if they don't listen to you, they won't listen to me either. That's what he said. I say, oh yeah, if Jesus came down, I'd see him in all his glory and I'd listen to him. And Jesus says you wouldn't. If someone rise from the dead, I'll listen. He says you wouldn't. He said if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rise from the dead. Some people can't recognize God even if he stands right in front of them. Wouldn't even recognize him. Wouldn't even know what he looked like when he's right there in your Bible. He's right there in your lap. That's him. That's who he is. Amen. He says, this, severe discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. Proverbs 15:10. Some people don't like to be corrected because they're full of pride. Amen. We need to be very humble. He said, the greatest is like a little child. Little children are quick to forgive. They're 1,000% teachable. They're humble. You tell them that the moon is made of cheese and they believe it. They believe anything you tell them. All trusting, quick to forgive. 1,000% teachable. Little children. He said we shouldn't go beyond that which is written. Amen. Did anybody get the text? Now, so we need to act upon God's word. It's not enough to hear it. He said it's not those who hear the law who will be declared righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law. He still calls it law. Who will be declared righteous. He said, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature, that's the born again spirit, do by nature the things required by the law, they're a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witnesses, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. He said, this will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets. It's my gospel declares. That's the gospel, judging secrets, God says. He said, God will bring every work into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it be good or evil. Ecclesiastes 12:13. He said, this is a conclusion. Solomon and all of his wisdom, the wisdom of God coming right from God's throne. He says, this is a conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. That's the whole conclusion of your Bible. It's right there. That's not what I believe. Well, opinions aren't going to stand the test when we stand before God. Amen. We've got to stick with the scriptures.
Amen.
We need to obey God. Now, you know, so he says we're supposed to become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants. We don't want to stay babies. It's an embarrassment when heaven looks down and they see people that have been born again for 5 to 7 years, according to Paul's writing in Hebrews, after 5 to 7 years, he expects them to be mature enough to teach. Amen. So when he looks down and he sees a bunch of believers in their diapers when they've been born again for 10, 15, 20 years, he looks down and heaven looks at that, it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to stay a baby. We don't have to stay that way. It's a choice to stay a baby. Amen.
Amen.
We choose to stay babies because we don't begin to do what is said, and we don't have a relationship with God outside of coming to church where everybody sees us. When the doors are closed, we don't pray or fast or give or do any of the things He commands us to do because we're not seen of men. When that's where the rubber meets the road, when you're alone with God,
amen.
That can only give you so much from behind the pulpit. I'm only with you a few hours out of your many, many hours of your week. It's what you do when you go home that makes the difference.
Amen.
You are to be fasting and praying. He said, Jesus didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. He didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray. He also said, devote your lives to prayer, being watchful and thankful, Colossians 4:2. He said, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Give yourselves to prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, he didn't say if you pray. He said, when you give, he didn't say if you give. He said, when you give.
Amen.
Now, so all these things, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the way you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness is all found right there in Matthew 6 by your fasting, your praying, and your giving. That's how you seek first his kingdom. Some people say, you're a greedy preacher. No, it's you're greedy. The reason I'm telling you right now, the reason you feel that way is the greed in your heart, because God is the one that commands in His Word that we're to give. And if you always look into it with some kind of shady eye, maybe you might want to look in the mirror and expose your own darkness, because something ain't right with your heart if you're so stingy that you can't give. Because He commands us over and over in Scripture to do it. In fact, He says there's one who gives liberally and gains even more, and there's another one who's stingy, it says. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, I believe it is. There's another one who's stingy, and it lends to poverty. A lot of you can't pay your bills because you're stingy. You see, well, I give. Well, you're not giving what God told you to give. You're giving what you're comfortable with giving. You can't say amen, so oh my, it's what it is. Because a lot of times God is telling you to give a whole lot more than we're giving, and we're not willing to do it. And you wonder why you struggle. It's equal to, this is what it's comparable to, if you read through the book of Malachi, what they did is they brought the blind and the lame sheep and the crippled sheep, and they would offer them to God when they still had the best of the flock to give. That's equivalent when God tells you to give your tithes, and on top of that offerings, you just squeeze George a couple times and throw it in the offering as if you're doing God a favor. God despises that kind of behavior. You're telling God that this is what you're worth to me, God, and you wonder why you can't pay your bills. It's exactly what it is. I don't understand. I struggle all the time, and everything gets worse in my finances. I can tell you what it is. It's because you're so stingy. And not only that, He doesn't expect you just to give tithes and offerings. He expects you to give to the poor. You should be given all sorts of different benevolent activities. But because people are so stingy, they never tap into the kingdom, and they'll never have the provision that God had laid out for them for all eternity. He expected us to tap into it here and now, but because people withhold from God what He wants them to give, they're not able to tap supernaturally into the empowerment on their finances that God has for them. It becomes supernatural. You know, if what you're doing, if you're comfortable doing what you're doing and it's not impossible, what do you need God for? He said, with man this is impossible, not with God all things are possible with God. Amen. Mark 10, 27. He said, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Mark 9, 23. With man that's possible, God, all things are possible. Matthew 19, 26. Nothing is impossible, God. Luke 1, 37. No word of God has ever failed. Luke 1, 37, one translation says. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, He said, so are my ways are above your ways. My thoughts, your thoughts. He said, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and water the earth, and return not there again, but make it bear fruit and water the seed so that it bears fruits and buds. So is my word that comes out of my mouth. It will not return void. In other words, just the same as the rain, He's liking His word unto water again. Washeth the water through the word, Ephesians 5. Let every matter be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. He says that His word won't return void, and if He tells you that He will bless you financially if you give, then you have God's word on it.
Amen.
But if you don't believe God, it's not going to work until you act on it. Amen. It takes faith. That's why it's not comfortable. Amen. There's nothing comfortable about faith. There's nothing comfortable about being a true believer that lives a holy life in this wicked generation. He said, Peter said, they think it's strange you do not plunge at them in the same flood of dissipation. They heap abuse on you, but they'll have to give account to Him who's ready to judge both the living and the dead. He said, for this reason the gospel is preached even to those who are now dead, so that they may be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. He said, not to think it's strange that the fiery trial you're enduring is though something strange were happened to you. He said, but rejoice, you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Pastor Dan, you wouldn't believe what I'm going through. I just don't understand why this keeps happening to me. He said, don't think it strange. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face all kinds of testings, temptings, and trials. Because you know that the testing your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to him. But when he asks, must believe and not doubt. As he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. That's James chapter 1. Amen. Peter said about this salvation, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. That's problems, my friends. He said, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. It may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. He said, you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that had now been told you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. He said the prophets didn't even know. They didn't even understand that they weren't prophesying to their own generation. They're prophesying to us. And the angels are trying to understand. He said the manifold wisdom of God has been made known to the church through us who are anointed by the Holy Spirit. We're making manifest the wisdom of God. We're teaching it to you now. That's all coming from 1 Peter chapter 1. So there's many, he said, you know, rejoice, you participate in the sufferings of Christ, you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. He said, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Amen. He said, it's time for judgment. Now he explains what is happening. He says, it's time for judgment to begin at the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God, which tells you there's something to obey in the gospel?
Amen.
He said, and if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? We're sinners saved by grace. No. He says, the sinners, the outcome's not good. I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
I was a sinner. His blood washed me. I'm saved by his grace. Now I can work as hard as I can for reward, not to earn my salvation that I already have.
Amen.
You cannot earn something you already have. If you've accepted Jesus and you're born again, you are working for reward. You're not working for a salvation. That would be stupid. How can you work for something you already have?
Amen.
It's foolishness to worry about that kind of garbage. You can't work for something you already have. He already gave you that. That's like having a gift and say, I'm going to go work for it now.
Amen.
You see? The reason he had to talk that way is because he was dealing with a lot of Jewish believers who wanted to stay under the animal sacrifices.
Amen.
You don't bring animals to church, do you? To kill them? Their blood shed under the... We bury it under the ground. Anybody done that today? Because that's the works of the law that he was talking about, is the animal sacrifice. It's not working as hard as you can to get people born again. That's what all this fasting and prayer is about. The reason that we fast and the reason that we pray is so that we can be transformed into Jesus' likeness. Because if you don't look like Jesus, the world doesn't want you. You're just thorns and briars. They don't want to pick the fruit from your tree. If you walk up and you don't look like Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? If you're not living a holy life and people know it, they're not going to receive the Word of God from you.
Amen.
But if you are and they know it, they're going to receive. Your family's not going to listen to you at Christmas if they know you're a hypocrite and you just go to church. They ain't going to listen to that.
Amen.
But if they know that you really are living this and you've separated yourself from the world and you're living a holy life, they may mock you. But when calamity strikes in their life, you're the first one they're going to call on the phone.
Amen.
Your coworker's the same thing. The one guy talked about how his, His co-worker mocked him. But when his friends left him and he didn't have a ride, the first person he called was that true Christian. He said, "Why did you call me?" He said, "Because I knew that you'd come." See, they know. They may mock you because they don't want to live it, but deep inside, they see it. He said, "We're living epistles," he calls us. He said, "The Word of God's written on our hearts." They read. He said, "You're known and read by everybody." They're reading. People are reading your life. They're watching you.
Amen.
Not what you just say, but what you do, even more importantly. Amen? He says, judgment begins at the family of God. He said, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, he didn't say it's easy for the righteous to say God's grace is just going to cover all your sin, just live a big filthy life. When he said this in Romans 6, verse 6, he said, "For we know that the old man," that's that old man, "was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin." So in other words, he said that old man, that old filthy, spiritually dead man, according to Ephesians chapter 2, is dead. It was buried down there with Jesus. You're resurrected to a new life. So when you carry around sin with you as a believer, it's like chaining yourself to a dead, rotting carcass and dragging that thing around saying, "I love Jesus, I love Jesus." God doesn't even look upon you, but he smells you. He says it's like a putrid aroma to my nostrils is what the Spirit said today.
Amen.
You see, he won't even look at me. No, the Bible says this, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil."
Amen.
He don't look on it. Because it says in Habakkuk 1:13, he says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." God can't even look upon sin. That's why he's up in heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of cleansed believers. He's in you.
Amen.
He's in you. And he's trying to help you with all the impurities by praying in other tongues. But if you refuse to do that and you lock him away in prison, how is he going to help you?
Amen.
You cannot be led by the Spirit that you do not pray in.
Amen.
If you pray in the Holy Spirit, you can be led by the Spirit. If you do not, he cannot lead you. That's how the Holy Spirit does his work.
Amen.
Well, I think, you know, I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm so thankful." They don't even pray in tongues. They say, "I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit does my praying for me," as if God's up there sitting in heaven praying down here when he's given us the authority in the earth.
Amen.
Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore you go." He gave the authority to the church. If God could up there and pray, he'd only have to pray one prayer that the whole world be saved, and he'd instantly come down here and do it. He can't do that. It's up to us. He's left it in our hands. It's up to us to do something. It's up. Say, well, people don't listen nowadays. What? Quit being such a baby and getting your feelings hurt and jump out there and witness to about 50 people that spit in your face like I do, and you'll find out it doesn't hurt your feelings anymore. You'll become callous to it. And that's where you need to be, because God expects it from us, because he's the one that placed us in this generation. You are here for a reason. You are in this generation for a reason, because God knows there's something about you. There's something that you can do that no other individual on the entire face of the earth in any generation, past or future, can do. Only you can do it. And it's not going to be done until you get on your knees, humble yourself, and surrender your entire life to Jesus.
Amen.
And devote yourself to prayer.
Amen.
I don't have time to pray. I work. We broke it down at a calculator. Maybe I should grab a pen. Maybe I could do this by my head if you helped me.
Amen.
Now, in your day, there are 24 hours. I give you 8 hours of sleep. Okay? There's 16 hours left. I gave you 2 hours to eat food throughout the day. Now, if you're spending more than 2 hours preparing and eating food, we need to go on a fast. You're gonna blow up. So you got 14 hours left. I give you 2 hours to eat. I'm gonna give you an hour. Is that enough time to get ready for work? An hour? I'll give you an hour and a half. You know what? I'll give you an hour, because otherwise the math's going to... 1 hour to get ready for work. So we've got 13 hours of your day left. Okay? Now we're going to work for 8 hours. Most people work around 8. That leaves you with 5 hours of your day left. I'm going to give you an hour. In fact, you know what? I'll give you 2 hours. 1 hour to go to work and 1 hour to go back, which is ridiculous. Because nobody works that far away. Does anybody work more an hour away each way? Most people don't. I'm going to give you 2 hours. That means there's 3 hours left. That's a whole bunch of time. You can drive 5 miles an hour. You can count the trees. You can get out and smell some roses. Get back in your car. You can stop at the store. You can do whatever you want. I'm going to give you an hour for a nap. You take a nap. I'm making this real ridiculous for you to show you that you do have time to spend with Jesus. Amen. There's still 2 hours left. I'm going to give you, we already ate. I gave you plenty of time to get ready for work, a ridiculous amount of time. I'm going to give you 1 hour to stare at the wall. When you get home from work, to look at the wall and just stare at it for 1 hour. And there's still 1 hour to pray. Amen. 1 hour left to pray, to read the Word, to spend time alone with God. 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, an hour each way to work, 2 hours of eating, which is... that's ridiculous. You spend that much time eating, you need to go on a diet. Think about it. Doesn't that sound... just sit around eating all day. Take, you know, some people, they eat in about 15 minutes. You know, you got an hour to stare at the wall, and on the days you got to go to the grocery store, you can spare that hour for that. And you still got an hour left. And that hour is your transformation hour. That's what we're going to call it. Amen. Because the transformation into Jesus' likeness and His image takes place in His presence. You will become like the one that you spend the most time with. If you spend more time with TV, which you shouldn't even be watching anyways because it's all garbage, even most of your Christian television is filth. Bunch of wrong doctrine. Amen. Just throw... anybody throws their TV away, I'll give you $100. I will give you $100. That's not for anybody online. That's only for the people of my flock. I don't need a big bill of $50,000 coming to me. Because some people really got a hold of this in another country or something. They go find a TV somewhere laying on the side of the road and throw it away and say, you owe me $100. No, no, no. That's for the people here today. I'll give you $100 if you throw it away and don't buy another one. I'll do that. Because it's for your spiritual growth. If you spend more time listening to TV, which is full of garbage, even the commercials, than you do with Jesus, you're going to be more like the world. Because the TV is the world. It's all worldly. The music that we listen to, all of the things... you will, your life will move in the direction of your most dominant thought. Amen. And all that information that you're pumping into your mind and your emotions and your spirit, that's the thoughts that are entering in. When the Bible says, we wrestle, He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But what do Christians do today? They're supposed to cast down every thought, every single thought that doesn't line up with the Word. Amen. But what do? They fill themselves with thoughts of the devil. They think they're getting away with it. But they wonder, I don't understand, Pastor Dan, why I struggle with this. I don't understand why this is going on in my life. I don't understand why I never prosper. When God says this, He says, neither should you bring an abomination to your house, lest you become a cursed thing like it. He said, but you shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So when you pump that filth into you, you're just bringing yourself under the curse. Because all of it is cursed, and none of it is of God. There's very few things you can find, unless you go to... I mean, I went in the Christian bookstore the other day to find a Bible for someone for Christmas, and there's a book on there, it says, I Am, written by one of your most popular Bible teachers, and it's all about the I Am, who I am. It's all about I am this, and I am that, and I am this. You know what it is? Selfishness. Do you realize the word Yahweh, the great I Am, is so holy that the scribes in the Old Covenant, every time that they wrote that name down, they would have to clean their pen, they'd have to strip down naked, wash all of their clothes, let them dry, put the clothes back on, and then write it. And if they had to write it 15 times one line, they'd have to do that all day long. That's how holy the word Yahweh is. And you got this preacher running around saying, I am this, I am that, I am that. That one of the most popular singers out there called her album, I Am. It's a selfish generation. It's all about me, Alverna College. It's my time. Burger King, I have it my way. iPhone, iPad, MySpace, Facebook, me, 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 me. When it's all about Him, it's supposed to be.
Hallelujah.
Recognize it for what it is. I'm trying to heighten your spiritual perception so you can recognize that this generation is corrupt. And we do it through the Word of God. Amen. He said this, the time is coming where the door will be shut. So have your hearts prepared and begin to act upon what I've called you to do and be prepared for my coming, says the Lord, for I'm coming soon. Recognize the signs of the times and look around, open your eyes. For the signs that surround are everywhere you look. So be prepared by acting upon my word and having your hearts pure before me. Be blameless and stand before me, for I'm your exceedingly great reward. Rejoice in the midst of trial, and you will find that my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, says the Lord. For I will be there to help you, to sustain you, and to give you the empowerment necessary for you to overcome every testing and trial if you will look to me. So be not discouraged, but encourage yourself in me, says the Lord, for it is my word that is an encouraging word to your hearts, and it is my word that is your daily bread. For my word will sustain you. As you feed your spirit, you will become strong in the inner man. So clothe yourselves with that which is pure. Clothe yourselves with light. Reject all evil. Cling to that which is good. Hate what is evil. And be pure before me and blameless. For it is those who are pure that will see God, says the Lord. So be patient with everyone. And be patient with yourselves. And be not afraid to step out. For I will be with you. And I will surround you with my life. If you will step out by faith, you will see that I will act for you and I will perform my word with signs that accompany it, says the Lord. For I never leave those nor forsake those whose hearts are steadfast towards me. So separate yourself from this world. Be not unequally yoked with this world, for this world has nothing for you. Do not run after things that cannot satisfy, but run after me, for I am the cistern of living water. I will quench your spiritual thirst. I will feed your spiritual hunger, and I will satisfy that which lies deep within you, says the Lord, for I am the Lord your God who created you. So find everything that you long for in me, for I'm your greatest heart's desire. I'm just going to add this to that prophecy. If people run after all sorts of things, when there's only one thing that if they would just let go, they would find out in their walk with God that everything that they used to run after, it could have all been found in Him. He was what they really wanted. A lot of men and women of God have found that out when they finally picked up their cross and let go of the whole entire world. They let go of everything for Him. They'll find out that, you know what? He really, truly is everything I ever wanted. There's nothing more that I need. All the material things, it's all going to burn up. It's all temporal. This is what He said. He says, there's new levels of freedom that I long for my children to walk in, that I desire for them to see. And those levels of freedom will lift them up higher and higher as they spend all of their time with me. So press in with your whole hearts and put your best foot forward. Make your best effort to seek my face. For all of the things that you need to find time are found through prayer. So ask for time. For I am the creator of time, I'm the creator of all things, and I will help you manage your time so that you can spend time with me. For as your freedom comes forward, and as your freedom manifests for everyone else to see, they will get set free. Have I not said, do you light a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Do you not put it on its stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house? Have I not said, if your eye be single, your whole body be full of light, so that everyone may see as you shine bright, says the Lord? For I've set my children in the universe to be lights that shine. So draw near to me and let the darkness pass. Let the darkness light as a lamp upon you, and you will see that my light will shine through you, says the Lord. And as my light shines, all will see it, and those who are in darkness will cling to you, for they long for that light, and that light is found through me, says the Spirit of grace. You know, sinners are like, if you got a light that shines bright, it's almost like, you know, I don't want to get anybody mad at me, but when you turn on the, in the middle of the summertime there, you turn on the lights and all them bugs come attracted to the light. Amen? There's something about the light that they're attracted to, and if the world sees someone who shines like a light, they're attracted to you. They'll find out about it. So I just want to encourage you to spend much time in God's presence. And the whole reason we fast and pray is not for works. We do it so we transform and become more like Jesus. Because Paul said, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. In fact, he said, I said before, I say it again, even now with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. He said their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their mind is on earthly things. He said, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there. So we should be, our focus should be on things above. He said, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Set your minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He said, you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Amen. Colossians 3:1-4. So you died. He said to pick up your cross daily. Jesus never said it would be comfortable. It's a lot of suffering involved as Christians, but it's not, how many knows it's not easy to deal with the flesh? Amen. The flesh does not like to die. But you'll find that it's worth it. Because once you finally get to that place in Him that your heart desires to be, you'll find that it's all worth it, because you're going to be able to not just sustain yourself and be able to overcome all your problems. You know, a lot of Christians, they can't even see beyond their own household or their own problems. The devil keeps them so caught up in their problems. You're always going to have problems. You might as well just work for the Lord, because the problems are going to be there no matter what.
Amen.
You're always going to have them. That's not a good confession, Pastor Dan. Well, Jesus said, in this world you have trouble, so you can tell Jesus that. Amen. You're going to have problems in this world. It's inevitable that you're going to have problems. Why not just serve the Lord with your whole heart, and then you'll be so focused on the things of the Lord you don't even think about your problems anymore. How about that? Why don't we do it that way? Amen. He said He's our ever-present help in time of need and time of trouble. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world, He said. I just want to encourage you to spend a lot of time. If you can't find time to read the Bible, get it on your iPhone, your MySpace, Facebook, whatever you get. These technology, get it playing on your iPhone or your iPad, your Droid, your computer phone, your computer, tape player, CD player, get it playing. Find creative ways. If you want to spend time with God, you'll find creative ways. I take one of them big Ziploc bags and I got scriptures right there hanging in the shower. I used to hang a radio in there and listen to teaching tapes in the shower. With batteries, obviously. You don't want to electrocute yourself. Think, I'm not going to do that, Pastor. Well, you must not love Jesus enough to do it. You say you love Jesus, but Jesus is the Word. And if you really love Him like you say you do, just like I give you the example, your first love when you got your license, man, you will play hooky from school. You will go to work late. You'll leave work early. Nothing's going to stop you from getting in the presence of your sweetheart. Nothing. I just can't. All you think about Him all day long. That's how it should be with Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing's going to keep me from Him. Nothing. I don't care if I got to drive to and from work. I'm going to be listening to the Word to and from work.
Amen.
If it takes me, if I got to change my hairstyle every other day and put someone else's hair on my head from another country that I should be praying over the hair because who knows how many devils are connected with it. If I got to change my hair and it takes me 3 hours to change my hair 4 times a week, I'm going to be listening to the Word while I change my hair.
Amen.
Make sure you got, if you're putting somebody else's hair on your head, pray over the hair. Who knows what thoughts ran through that person's head? Amen?
Amen.
You got to pray over the hair. There's spirits connected with things. I'm telling you, you all put it on. You wonder why you're tormented in your brain. Here, that person was a witch. You don't know what they were. And that witch knows, she knows, you know what, I'm going to shave my hair off and some Christian over there in America is going to put it on their head. They're going to be all full of the devil. They do that on purpose. They know what people do. They purposefully do things that throw devils in your path. Synthetic hair, maybe we don't have the problem. It's serious business. We'll leave on that note since you're happy and you're not mad at me anymore. Go home. We'll see you on Sunday, 10 o'clock. Listen to the teachings online. And we love you. Stay excited about Jesus.